Hollowed Sense is a year-round horror boutique located in Kentucky. They are definitely the place to shop if you love anything spooky, Halloween, and horror-themed. From uniquely scented wax bars, candles, bath and body items, to the Hearst Freshies, spooky apparel, home decor, Halloween-inspired coffee, and so much more for your spooky little heart. Check out the three types of mystery boxes. Those are our favorites. They even have spooky boxes for kids. All of them horror-themed. Shipping orders over $50 for free. Go check them out on their website, hollowsense.com. Follow them on Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. You can also find a link straight to their website on our link tree. Stay spooky, boils and ghouls.
What is up, everybody, and welcome to the Tap Room. I'm Mike.
I'm Tabby.
Joining us this week in killing Nazis and collecting 100 Nazi scalps is Jake and the Dingus. Fellas, how the hell are you?
We're great.
Fucking great. How are you?
Wonderful.
Kill some Nazis.
Kill some Nazis.
As Brad Pitt would say.
Ooh, it's a bingo.
It's a bingo.
So this week we are sharing the very best of one of the greatest of all time, Quentin fucking Tarantino. I'm excited for this.
My body's ready.
Oh, everything is ready for this because Tarantino is up there top tier for me.
He is God tier. Not he's not
S-tier?
Top tier.
Is that S tier?
S tier. S rank.
S rank.
He's the S rank director.
Yeah. So I don't know who it was I was talking to on Twitter about this.
Me.
That'd
be me.
Okay. So when I invited you guys onto the show and I said, well, we should do like a double recording. Like we'll do your show. And then immediately after we'll do our show. And I sent you the whole list and instantly he goes, Quentin Tarantino, 100% for sure. Please God. I'm like, all right. That's just like instantly. I could feel your energy and your excitement when you wanted to do Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah, and it's like, I'd have to go back and look, like, because there were some other ones on there that were interesting from what I recall, but it's like I saw Tarantino, I'm like, I can talk Tarantino until I'm blue in the face. So like,
oh dude, Quentin Tarantino, he's one of the best to like in the game. His knowledge of directing and shooting, Even acting, he can do it all. He's
our generation's M. Night Shyamalan.
I think M. Night Shyamalan.
That was a joke.
Our generation, yeah. Like he's still going.
Gotta work it in your rounds. You know?
M. Night actually has a movie that is getting ready to come out.
I want to see that.
Knock at the Door. Oh fuck
yeah!
Was it called Knock at the Cabin?
Knock at the Door. Or Knock at the Cabin with Dave Bautista.
The animal.
Looks like he's wearing a skin mask in that movie.
Yeah.
It looks like it's going to be dope as shit. I'm excited to see that.
It looks cool. But yeah, I mean, it's like Dave Bautista is just out of place in anything, like not a superhero movie. Like he's so comically large compared to it's like The Rock in anything. Like, could you imagine The Rock in like a period piece or something like that? It's like,
bro, Alexander Hamilton was not that muscular.
The Rock wasn't a period. He was in an Egyptian movie. He played the Scorpion King.
Gross.
He did.
No, he was CGI.
Did you qualify the Scorpion King as a period piece? I don't know if history is accurate on that.
It was a biopic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Fine. The Mummy Returns.
Yeah.
I get.
Okay. Wasn't he the Scorpion King in The Mummy Returns?
Yeah.
Do not discredit Brendan Fraser.
Accuracy.
I love Brendan Fraser. I just learned you pronounce his name Fraser and not Frasier.
Yep.
Yeah.
That was a revelation.
I learned how to pronounce his name on a video I saw a couple weeks ago. He said it's Fraser. Think of Razor and Laser, and then that's how you say my last name. I'm like, oh shit. So for like 30 years I've been wrong ever since I saw Encino like, Man.
That's
and not
how you fucking say your name, Brandon. You're Brendan Fraser. You fucking know it.
Yeah. Like, I guess there's not an I in his last name.
I've been wrong since Airheads came out. Yeah. And Encino Man.
Anyway, that level of like mass hole to just leave, that's not how you fucking say your name.
Yeah, but if you're Brendan Fraser, you're allowed to be an asshole like that. Mm-hmm. You get a free pass for life if you're him. But we're not talking about Brendan Fraser.
Nope.
On this episode, I do want to do a Brendan Fraser episode. Okay. Maybe. This week we're talking about one of the best in the game, Mr. Quentin Tarantino.
He has done so much. Just saying, like, not just directing, producing, writing, acting, like, holy shit.
And he is, just like me, a fellow Tennessean.
Good.
I thought you were going to say in the feet, but that's fine.
Nope. I don't like where you can touch poop with by accident. So
wait, what?
You step in dog shit with your feet.
Oh.
Dog shit. You step.
I was like, wait, are you shoving feet in buttholes now?
Right. Like, wait, what? That's a slip and fall right there.
Oops, I tripped.
Whoops. Oopsie poopsie on my tootsie.
That's a very Michael Kelso sounding like accident. Oops, I fell.
Oopsie poopsie.
Damn it, Jackie.
So is Quentin Tarantino, is he done directing? Because I know he had a like a number of films he wanted to direct and then he was going to hang it up.
Yeah.
He wanted to do 10.
I don't know
10.
If Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is going to be his last one or not. I figure he's got to have one more in the chamber. Like, I mean, I just...
He's probably going to make like a big comeback in like 10 years. And he's like, yeah, here's my one.
See, that's what I expect. Like, he's going to like... You're not going to hear a peep from him mm-mm. for at least 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And then one day you're going to be at the theater and you're going to see this trailer pop up on the screen. Like, boom. From Quentin Tarantino, and you're like, holy shit, he's back.
I can see that.
And like the crowd is fucking going nuts, like, because oh my god, we get an 11th. He's going for 11.
Yeah. Fun fact.
I would love that.
Our dog Lucy, this one right here.
Yeah.
Aww. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is her favorite movie ever.
Really?
We watched
I have
it.
Proof that she watched the entire thing.
We watched it the other day.
Bruce Lee gets the shit kicked out of him.
Oh god,
yeah.
Her favorite part is at the very end.
The Manson family fight in that movie is the best.
Yeah.
When he chucks that can of dog food at her nose.
But no, she watches the entire movie. Like, she loves that movie.
She just
quite funny.
She just likes the part where Brad Pitt climbs on the rooftop and takes his shirt off to fix the satellite dish.
I like that part too.
I mean, I like it.
Can I just, I mean, just not even talking about Quentin Tarantino.
Tarantino.
In directing, an alternate universe. But his acting, like, I hated his character in Dusk Till Dawn, but it was so, like, cringeworthy.
Oh, I
gross,
love that character.
Loved it.
I find that interesting. You hate it. It was such a...
No. Character. I'm saying I love to hate it.
I loved Selma Hayek. I mean, Quentin Tarantino in that movie.
Agreed.
Who didn't love Selma Hayek in that movie?
Selma Hayek was like,
I'm pretty sure I hit puberty when I watched that.
Like,
no, I was going to say your balls dropped at that point.
Yeah, that was my Leonardo DiCaprio moment for Titanic.
Yeah. Selma Hayek was like my first celebrity crush, but it wasn't in Dusk Till Dawn. It was in Desperado.
Mm.
Oh, Desperado's dope.
Never seen it.
It was free for me.
When I saw Selma Hayek in Dusk Till Dawn, I immediately forgot who the Pink Ranger was.
Right?
Like, wait, there's a Pink Power Ranger? Who is Kelly Kapowski? Yeah. Who are these people? Yeah.
You're done with me.
I broke up with Topanga Lawrence when I saw From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, my.
But no, Dusk Till Dawn, that's...
That was actually when I was introduced to Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah,
I remember being like a 13, 14 year old, and it just came on like the you know how like ABC did like the movie thing kind of thing, but it wasn't ABC because of course they wouldn't allow that, but it was like
TBS or TNT would do them.
Something like that. And it came on and I was watching it and I was like, man, this is kind of fucked up. Then it was like vampires and the Tom Savini penis gun and it was fantastic.
And Greg Nicotero
doing
his vampire.
Fucking Nicotero. God damn it. That man is a god. I would lick his shoes.
I
he's a Pennsylvania
guy. Dawn is probably the third or fourth Tarantino movie I watched. And I didn't know anything about it. And I'm like, I thought this was a vampire movie. And then it just like it hits. And it's like, holy shit.
Well, it was the buildup. It was like you're in the trailer. You're like, okay, they're bad guys. This is shitty for them. This is great. They're gonna go to the bar. The bar is a normal bar, and then like, whoa, vampires? What?
Whoops. And then like, was it a pan out that you see like the hole behind the bar?
Yeah.
Am I mixing movies up right now?
No, you're right. No. It's the pan out after the big brawl with all the vampires at the end.
Yeah, you see the whole like vampire kingdom behind the bar.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And George Clooney.
I thought that was in the back room, like when you seen like the
or maybe that I
don't know.
Towards the end of
it's,
the movie,
it's been a while since I've seen it myself.
Well, all right, so let me ask this. So, what is your favorite Quentin Tarantino movie that he's acted in? Well, that he directed, obviously, but that he's been in. So, like,
no, I can't do that because it'll give away my top five.
Dusk Till Dawn, Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs. Which do you think he gave the best acting performance in?
I can't.
I really like his performance in Pulp Fiction.
See, that's what I was gonna say. He really sold that character.
Yeah, it's a short bit. Like, it's not really a cameo, but it's definitely a supporting character. Yeah. But that's kind of the interesting thing about Pulp Fiction. Like, you have the main, you know, actors in it. But the supporting characters are all so good and compelling for the story. Like, if you really think about it, like, Ving Rhames is kind of a supporting character in that, but he's so crucial to the whole plot of the movie.
If you think about it, though, almost everybody in Pulp, there's really no specific lead in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, it's like if you had to pick, it's like everybody's who's the main character in Pulp Fiction. I
guess Travolta.
Travolta maybe.
Well, look at the cast. You've got John Travolta, Samuel L. Jackson, Bruce Willis, Ving Rhames, Uma Thurman, Tim Roth. I mean, this is for the year that this movie came out. That's a
it was all the biggest stars.
Yeah,
yeah, sure. Yeah. Like, the A-list of 1990, what year was that? 95, 96 when Pulp Fiction came out?
Yeah.
It was 96.
That was the A-list of that year. Those were fucking Bruce Willis.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, you had like everybody was in this movie. Yeah.
Actually, I'm going to have to say one of my favorite acting performances of his is the priest in Little Nicky.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
You're all gonna go to hell. You're gonna burn in hell. Y'all gonna die. He was the blind priest.
Yeah. That was I learned today Quentin Tarantino was on an episode of Golden Girls.
Was he?
He was an Elvis Presley impersonator.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
I say he's like Desperado too. Like, I mean, honestly, like, because I fucking love that movie, but the character in that, like, it's so good.
Yeah.
Comically good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, he did you know he also directed an episode of ER?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it was like its fourth or fifth season.
Mm-hmm.
It was when he was
just starting out.
Not really just starting out, but he was like super early into his. Well, not super early, but it was early in his career.
Yeah.
He had like Pulp Fiction had already been out. So he had Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction out.
Well, that's like, yeah. I mean, I think his first real movie, he didn't direct it, but he's a producer on True Romance.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that is.
With,
oh, shit.
Are we going to trusty Google?
We might have to.
Right now.
Yeah.
True Romance. Did he?
Christian Slater. Yeah, Christian Slater. Arquette, Gary Oldman. Oh, Gary Oldman was the pimp.
Yeah.
Oh, that movie.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Okay. I know the movie. Have. I just, yeah. The title was.
Yeah, he was, okay. He was a producer on that. Okay. That was kind of his first big foray into film world. And then Reservoir Dogs came out the next year or the year after that.
Yeah. Well, he was, I know he had the, I heard him say he was on an episode of Two Bears, One Cave with Tom Segura.
Yeah.
As their guest. And he was talking about when he was working at a video store, he had already written Reservoir Dogs then.
Mm.
He had like the script out. He didn't have like who's playing who in it. He just wrote the script with, and it had dialogue and characters in it.
Mm-hmm.
And just one day, some Hollywood bigwig came in and he said, "Hey, I wrote the script. You want to check it out?" And that's how we got Quentin Tarantino.
That's crazy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies.
Also, on an entirely separate note, fuck Tom Segura because he shit all over our hometown and I'm not too happy about that. I did not like all the rounds that made on social media. I'm like, hey, you know what? Like we're better than any place in Ohio, Indiana, Illinois. Like, I mean, have you been to like fucking Biloxi, Mississippi? Like, there's a lot of shitty places out there. We're way better.
If it helps, he did shit on the entire state of both Arkansas and Louisiana.
Yeah, those states suck, but like we're definitely not that bad. Like, it's kind of one definitely. Of those things. Like, hey, I can talk shit about it, but you don't get to. Like, fuck you.
I mean, we are the trailer park of the Rust Belt.
That's true.
No,
maybe. I'm kidding. I can't say I've never been to Erie because I literally drove through it twice.
Yeah, we just talked about it
a month ago.
Yeah.
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 Sorry, guys.
But no, it was cool.
That's fine.
No, we got too busy next time.
Biting off heads and sucking juice.
Sucking juice.
Suck juice or juice?
Whichever you prefer that day.
Well, if you're listening to.
I like a little Rothschild in my body every now and then.
Oh, that. That's yucky.
That's caca.
Caca.
So Mad Libs, right?
I've heard of that game before.
No, you got a drink. He said
aww.
It.
Wait, are we recording?
Oh, not again.
Yeah.
So we did a Twitter poll.
We did. We did do a Twitter poll.
I did because I run the show's Twitter account. So I did a Twitter poll.
And I've got the notes.
And
it's fine.
Tab is going to read the results for that.
So. I'm just here for the good looks that no one can see.
That is the complete opposite of what I'm here for. I am not the good looks.
So on the Twitter poll, we had 158 people participate. Coming in at number 4 was Other. And
that was a good movie.
Somebody said four Rooms.
I loved Other.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, so somebody said 4 Rooms, and Quentin Tarantino did not direct that movie.
It was probably something he produced.
More than likely.
He's got a lot of producer credits.
Yeah.
Even ones without Robert Rodriguez writing his coattails.
I have no idea what I just wrote down. Hold on just a second.
It's okay. I can pull it up.
No. I've got it. I just have to figure out.
But you didn't.
Same thing.
I didn't.
Okay. True. Is that what that says? Somebody voted for True Romance. I don't think that was one that
we just had this conversation.
Yeah, he was a producer on it.
Okay. Tied for second place in Other was Hateful Eight and what was the other one? Not Django. Jackie Brown.
I've never seen Jackie Brown.
It's
a slow movie.
It's a slow film, but slow De Niro's burn. In it and he murders. It's probably the best De Niro performance, not Taxi Driver or Goodfellas.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that fucking stinks so bad. Oh, you're a dick.
Did you fart again?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's a three-way tie.
Sepsis.
Phew. The dog just farted too. Oh,
same wavelength.
Terrible. She's looking at me and smiling and wagging her tail.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
I should have said it was a three-way tie between Jackie Brown, Hateful Eight, and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with two votes. And the winner was Django of the other, but it was only 12%.
My reaction the first time I saw Django Unchained was, they let a white dude make this movie? What the fuck?
My first reaction was, wow, that was a good movie. And then the other hour played after that.
I loved Django.
That was a great movie. It's fantastic. But I literally thought it ended at the shootout at the house.
Yeah.
Oh, but there's more.
I do also love Jamie Foxx's talking about how Tarantino wanted him to play Django.
You're a slave.
You're a slave. You, nothing's good.
Everything
you
sucks.
You don't have a Range Rover. You're a slave. Okay. You're a fucking slave.
Yeah, but he also fucking nailed that character.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
They casted that movie beautifully.
Smith could have done better.
I would have picked Kevin Hart.
I was just about to say Kevin Hart. He would be an annoying piece of shit. He'd Kevin be dead Hart within the first 10
the
minutes.
Beginning scene when he's in the chains, you just see Kevin Hart's feet dangling and kicking in the air.
Where's my wife? Where's my...
Okay, so listen. Okay, so listen, what had happened was, here it is.
Coming in at number three, at 16% of the votes, got Reservoir Dogs.
Classic.
Fantastic movie.
Number two, 25%, was Inglourious Basterds.
All-timer.
Love that movie.
Oh, God.
Number one at 47, a fucking landslide. 47% was Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction.
Pulp Fiction.
So to everyone that commented and voted on that, thank you guys so much. That was awesome.
I would name everybody, but there is so many people who commented.
So do you think that won because that's the one that everyone's seen?
It's like the popularity for sure.
Yeah.
It was like the cast. Virginity Taken, like the Quentin Tarantino cherry popper.
It's the cast.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not slighting the movie. It's a fantastic movie, but
I mean, it's definitely the most popular of the time, and it has such a large cult following to it. It's kind of like if you're sort of a film person, that's the one that you like tell people they should watch. Like, if you're like, hey, if you had to watch one Tarantino movie, which one is it? It's like probably Pulp Fiction because it's the most. Now, admittedly, I don't think it's his best film, but I think you're really remiss if you watch other ones without watching Pulp Fiction.
It's a good introduction to Tarantino. It makes you dive deeper into his other stuff.
One that I always go back to with his, though, is it's fucking Reservoir Dogs. God damn.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's not the main reason I always go back to Reservoir Dogs is because of Michael Marsden's role in that film. Who was he? Was he Mr. White? Shit. I know Quentin played Mr. Brown. Tim Roth was Mr. Green, I believe.
Hold on. I'm trying.
Or go IMDb.
I'm trying. My internet is
Mr.
my Wi-Fi
Mr. White
is
was Harvey
slow.
Keitel. Madsen was blonde.
Michael Madsen.
Oh, that's
was Mr.
right.
Blonde.
He threw a fit because of that.
When he's just like when he walks into the warehouse and he's just standing there at the door chilling, drinking from his cup. His Coke, like, cool. That's just the epitome of cool.
Not only that, but he also fucking tortured a guy and didn't even think twice about it. He was like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
I'm going to cover you in gasoline and make
you cry.
And it's just so fun how like it only focuses on them.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really see anything else.
I loved Steve Buscemi's character in that the most, though.
Yeah. He's Mr. Pink.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mr. Pink.
Can I be Mr. I'll even be Mr. Purple. We already had a Mr. Purple. All right, fine. I'll be Pink. God damn. No, fucking Reservoir Dogs is. I love that it's a movie about a bank heist and you barely even get to see the bank heist.
Oh, you get to see the getaway car. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, you get that and you get like the chase scene with Steve Buscemi and the cop with Mr. Pink and the cops. And then 90% of the movie is just at the warehouse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a low budget film that has done Roth, beautiful.
You're 90
left off the list a lot for Tarantino movies, and it has a soft spot in my heart is Death Proof.
Yeah.
Please.
No. Death Proof.
Like,
God.
Kurt Russell's character is it's
I mean the both
well yeah I mean the Grindhouse great. like Planet Terror is fucking awesome too.
Planet Terror is my favorite.
But Death Proof, like, it's so good. Tomatoes.
I love yeah, it gets, Planet
it gets
Terror.
Left off, it gets left off the list a lot when you're talking Tarantino movies.
The I guess the main thing about Grindhouse and Death Proof and just the Planet Terror is I'm a mediocre special effects makeup artist, and I love the makeup, like the pulsating.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Things on them and explosions and like the it's fucking fantastic, and the storyline is beautiful.
I love how in Tarantino's movies, like even like the smallest gunshot or even a cut is just everybody spews with blood.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spews just blood. It's
but
that
also brings
out.
It back. It's kind of like a tribute, a salute to the 80s of yeah. when in the 80s, horror films were over the top
or 70s.
And over accentuated of the blood and the guts and the gore and the gross.
I just think of was it Day of the Dead where they're at the mall?
That Dawn. Was Dawn.
Dawn. Dawn. Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
You were close. It was of the dead.
Or wait, maybe I'm thinking of it. No. It was the 80s one. And it was the underground facility they were in.
That's Day of the Dead.
That's Day of the Dead.
Where the zombies can like function as normal humans. Yeah, that's Day of the Dead.
But just like the gut ripping, blood squirting.
There's something to be said for practical special effects, and especially with films now, the vast majority of things all be CG. And it's just to be expected at this point when you go to a film that's like an action or horror, there's gonna be a lot of CG. But Tarantino, in even his more recent films, doesn't lean too much into that. It's a lot of practical effects. And I think there's something to be said for the filmmaking of shooting practical special effects.
I mean, honestly, 100%. Practical effects, like 100%, like takes the cake. Yeah, you can do CGI and take the pussy way out. Can you make a throat ripping scene or a ripping a baby from a womb scene without CGI? Can you take eyeballs melting out of your face? Like,
and if you want to do any of that, you hire Greg Nicotero.
Well, Greg Nicotero is a god. We've already stated this many times.
Him and Savini.
Savini's we're not going to go there. Okay, so Rotten Tomatoes.
We're not Savini fans. We're Greg Nicotero fans.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm neutral on the subject.
That's fine. Sorry, we've been in the haunted house industry, movie making industry, special effects industry for what, 15 years now? Well, I have for
minimum,
about 15.
Yeah. Well, plus my 13. 10, 25.
Yeah,
added
together
20 years.
About 20, 25 years. So
25 years combined.
Sometime. Anyway.
A certain amount of time, but we're going to Rotten Tomatoes for Tarantino's top 10 in order.
Let's
coming in at number 10.
Grindhouse presents Death Proof 2007.
Well, I mean, okay, so like, especially from a critical acclaim, I wouldn't say it's a critically good film, but I enjoy it a lot.
It's got the 80s vibe. It's the cheesiness. It's the glorious, like...
And Kurt Russell was the perfect pick for that.
100%.
Listen, Kurt Russell is the perfect pick for a character in a movie.
Yes.
Have you seen The Thing?
So good.
Oh, God.
That's one of my favorite Carpenter movies.
I think Death Proof, it didn't do well in the box office for when it came out. But over time, people just watched it more and more and started to love it more. Now, if you put Death Proof out now, it would do amazing.
Well, I mean, I don't think, first off, they didn't promote it enough.
Uh-uh.
I think
that was a little intentional as far as like the whole notion of like, you know, the old school 80s grindhouse film.
Right.
It's
right.
Well, they weren't really highly promoted. You had to know where to go to watch them
when it was in the theater too, because it was both of them together.
Yeah, it was back to back,
and you had the intermission.
That's a time sink for sure. That's 4 hours out of your day to watch both.
Yeah, and we weren't used to Avengers movies being long back like that back then.
Right.
We should have been. I mean, it came out in 2007. Lord of the Rings came out in 2001, two, and three.
Yeah, but not the
But
just the vast majority of films weren't that way. Like if you look at old, you know, 30s, 40s, even in the 50s films, all of them were 3+ hours, right. All of them had intermission, you know, so it was more normative then, but then movies got shorter and shorter, so you're looking at that, you know, hour and a half, hour 40 minutes for the majority of the film.
Especially a horror movie.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I love movies like that, but in order to tell these kind of grandiose stories, you have to put some time kind of
right.
I like the way though that they almost made it comic bookish. Uh-huh. Like it felt super comic booky,
like Sin City,
graphic novel.
Oh,
that was another one of my favorite Tarantino. Like produced. He just touched it, and it was great.
Yeah. Oh, Sin City.
Yep.
Oh God, yes. Sin City is a great film.
So coming in at number 9, your least favorite, The Hateful Eight.
Jackie Brown.
Don't give away my whole top 5.
This is the top 10, and I know The Hateful Eight didn't make your top 5.
Well, I'm not saying it's bad. I just think it's not as good as the others I've picked.
It wasn't paced well.
You have to really like Westerns.
I kept waiting for something to happen, and it's just kind of like...
Didn't. So here's my beef with it, is it felt like if Reservoir Dogs was the Western movie.
Yeah.
Like, I love Westerns, like, you know, John Wayne movies, like Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid. Like, I mean, I love shit like that, but they are long, prodding movies. Like, even old school spaghetti Westerns, like Clint Eastwood, shit like that. They're long movies and they're just not particularly fast paced. It's like doing a bunch of bullshit and it leads up to a gunfight at the end, basically. That's that's Western movies. All in a nutshell.
And it takes a really fucking long time to get there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You get 2 hours of, well, we're just gonna hang out and nurse our wounds, eat some stew, lay in bed.
But yeah,
and
I mean the whole
have you ever been a woman waiting for sex?
And breaking an antique guitar worth $100,000, but you know,
love it.
Right.
But it's all that character development.
There's a lot of
it. Notion of the Western, they have to get you invested in these characters and with the assumption that some of them are going to die.
Right. It's the anticipation, and then like every character has to be like, they have to know each other in some way and tie in together. Coming in at number 8, Kill Bill Volume 2, 84%.
That's fair.
Yeah. That sounds right.
I don't see how number 7 is also Kill Bill Volume 1.
That sounds right too.
Maybe it just...
I feel like they were popular when they came out, but it's just he's got so many others.
Yeah.
Other
I think better. Pretty cool claim too, so...
A lot of his other stuff is just better. Like those are good, but they're not
I mean, if you're talking about a score of like 84, like that's a fucking stellar movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 6, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood at 85 Rotten Tomatoes.
See, I'm surprised that's low as it is.
That was a fantastic movie.
Oh yeah.
It was a fucking great movie. And was it a good movie, Woosie?
Wait, you said Once Upon a Time?
Yes, it was a good
movie. I fucking love Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It was a good movie. Yes, it was. Surprisingly enough, number 5 is Jackie Brown, coming in at 87%.
Yeah,
I don't get that.
Well, I get it because from a film critic standpoint, as far as just when you're looking at it at a critical eye, it is probably his best piece as far as a filmography standpoint, cinematography. Hmm.
Just a slow ass burn.
I'll have
it is. It's a lot of drama. There's a lot of character development.
It's a classic blaxploitation film.
Somewhat, but a little tongue in cheek in that regard. Well,
she was famous for that.
Yeah. So yeah, it plays on some of the older tropes in that regard, yeah. But I think it's probably his most dramatic film, I would say, other than Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Well, but if you go up to someone and say, hey, name a Quentin Tarantino movie, how many people
not gonna are going to be Jackie Brown?
Well, yeah,
no one's going to say Jackie
so
Brown.
So I would, yeah, I guess that's my argument, is it's not a very popular among viewers movie, just because you have to like those long, you know,
drawn out
dramatic endeavors. Right, and right, that's, right. You know, that's not everyone's cup of tea, but as far as a critical standpoint, when your job is to view film and look at the benefits or the camera work or even the sound in it, like the soundtrack, like everything in Jackie Brown clicks a lot of boxes in that regard.
Right, right.
Well, that's definitely one that I'm going to have to watch, because that is one of the Quentin Tarantino movies that I haven't. I have to at least once.
Just to say you've seen them all.
Right.
Okay.
So like I run the comparison of Jackie Brown to, I'm a big Kubrick fan as well. And it's like Barry Lyndon. Like Barry Lyndon is a really great period piece. It's critically super acclaimed, but it's, you don't pick it out as one of Kubrick's like top films.
Yeah.
You're a fucking animal. You're a fucking animal.
Is he shitting himself right now?
Yeah, like I mean, you're,
he's got to poop. He's got to poop
at this point.
No, I'm gonna have to poop at some point.
Yeah, he's gonna have to poop. All right, so
go now.
No, not yet. It's not there. We're just.
Are you sure?
Getting rid of the spaces.
Nice. Those are good. Those are good farts. Those are the best.
Yeah. He's editing the poop right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm editing it.
Edit, yeah. Edit before release.
These are the commas before the
exclamation. There's going to be some left on the film room for sure.
Jesus Christ.
All right, what's number four?
Number four is...
This poop is going to get a whole bunch of downloads.
Number four is Django Unchained.
Yeah.
87%.
That's a top five Tarantino for sure.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I mean, I've seen it.
I could rattle off the top three from here. I think it's going to hit.
Yeah, but more than likely. The point where I've seen so many like TikTok videos of it, of where Leonardo DiCaprio actually cuts his hand and rubs his blood on everybody. They and thought it was fake.
Freaked out by that.
Yeah.
And then they were like, wait, you cut yourself?
Yeah. Oh,
no, this is gross.
Come up to my parlor for some cake.
White cake.
Coming in at number three at 89% on Rotten Tomatoes is Inglourious Basterds.
Yeah,
another fantastic movie.
Oh my god,
so
absolute
good.
Banger for sure. Looks the like Bear we got Jew. Ourselves a Mexican standoff.
The Bear Jew. The way Brad Pitt says Bear Jew is my favorite thing.
No, I thought it was Grazie.
No, okay, so yeah, no, my favorite thing is Brad Pitt speaking Italian.
Yes.
Oh god.
I have a meme on my phone. It is a box of DiGiorno pizza, but instead of DiGiorno, it says Buongiorno, and it's Buongiorno. Brad Pitt holding a cigarette.
Born
in his Inglourious Basterds as his character in the white suit, and it just says it's not delivery, it's Buongiorno. I will send it to you. It is my favorite meme in the world.
Correcto.
How do you say your name again? Antonio Margheriti.
Oh, real quick, when we were watching Once Upon a Time in Hollywood the other day, there is a character that is referenced. His name is Antonio Guarlami.
Nice.
Yeah. And I heard it
about Tarantino movies. They're actually, my understanding is they're all set in the same world. Like, alternative universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
The cigarettes, the sodas, they're all the same. Everything. Every item is this. That's what makes his universe. Like every Quentin Tarantino movie is canon in its own universe.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah,
that's fucking dope.
That's beautiful.
That is the mind of a brilliant man.
Who was the woman in Inglourious Basterds?
Which one? The movie star, the one that gets shot in the basement in the foot or in the leg?
Yeah,
the slipper.
That game they were playing seems super fun.
It seems like
Diane Kruger. Yeah, I had a sexual awakening with Diane Kruger. She was
Norman, me too. That's Norman Reedus's wife.
Is it?
That is
Diane Kruger's Norman Reedus's wife.
That woman is in real life married to Daryl Dixon.
I would marry her.
That is Norman Reedus's wife. They've been married
I'd marry the other girl too. I mean, she was cute.
Oh, the one of the French that girl. Owned the theater, the French, Jew girl.
The scene though, where she's eating the pastry, with Christoph Waltz,
the creme,
feel distressed in that scene.
Oh, I mean, I can't speak highly enough of that film. That movie, so good.
It made me a Christoph Waltz fan. Like, I'm a fan. Yeah, I will watch.
That was the first thing I really saw him in, but I mean, God, what a fucking stellar actor.
Between that and Django.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in Glorious Bastards, that's the first thing I saw. Well, that came out first, didn't it? Inglourious came out and then Django. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, when I saw his role in Inglourious Bastards, instantly, dude, I'm a fan. I will watch anything. Mm-hmm. I will watch him make an 8mm home video on his flip phone. This dude is good. Mm-hmm. Holy shit, this guy can fucking act.
He played his part.
8mm film on their phone.
I mean, no, I'm just...
it's
like
all extension. This
shit's like 20 megapixels. Like, what kind of steampunk person are you?
Motorola Razr.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
But no, I would watch even like the shittiest movie that has ever. If he's in it, I'm fucking watching it.
He's such a good actor. That dude is dope. He's underrated.
Highly.
He's such a good actor. Coming in at number two. What do you think number two is?
I'm going to say Reservoir Dogs.
Reservoir Dogs at 90%.
And then
number one is Pulp Fiction, 92%.
Oh, my God.
I did forget to say during the Django part, the Jonah Hill cameo
is
fantastic.
We cut holes in him.
Your wife's so stupid. My wife, stand up. Why am I making all these masks?
You know what's funny is I didn't know if it was maybe because of the lighting in that scene or whatever, but it took me more than two viewings to realize that was Jonah Hill.
Really?
I mean, I knew it right away.
Yeah,
but I think that was mid weight loss, so I think it. I mean,
right?
If you didn't know he was losing weight, you wouldn't realize.
Well, I mean, I wasn't. I don't know if maybe it's that, or I wasn't paying attention or something, or you know. But I don't know. I did it. Maybe my second or third viewing of that. That's Jonah Hill.
Shit, that's Jonah Hill.
Yeah, that's the ask me about my wiener guy.
Yeah,
that's the dude from all those Seth Rogen movies.
Right. I mean, that's all he was at that point.
Yeah.
Well, and Moneyball.
Yeah, Moneyball.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's dive into our top five. We'll let these guys go first, and then
you want to do your top five, or you want to do my top five?
Well, what we'll do is we'll each take turns saying our number five,
four, three,
and then
two.
We'll go four. So instead of everybody, yeah. So whichever
you can
one
throw
of you guys
out honorable mentions if you want to as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, honorable mention for sure is Death Proof.
We'll do honorable mention and before we hit number ones.
That's fine with me.
Okay. So. Whichever one of you guys wants to go first, take it away.
For me, number five is Inglourious Bastards.
Okay.
Now, I do thoroughly enjoy the film. I think it suffers from a little bit of structure issues just with how it's broken up. It's almost like it would play better as a series, like a mini series.
I get that. I get it.
Okay. Next.
So I'll go From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
As my number five.
I mean,
okay.
It's a fabulous film.
It is.
Yeah. There's really no wrong answers here.
No, not with Tarantino. There is none.
This was a hard top five for me to pick because I'm a fan.
I changed mine 6 times today at work.
I think I did mine a couple. Yeah. Tab, what's your number five?
My number five is Django.
Same.
Nice.
Django Unchained is coming in at my number five.
Even though it is a really good Tarantino film.
It is. You just like ones more so than that one.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right. Number four.
So number four for me, it kind of leads into number three as well. So I'll just do it at the same time. It's Kill Bill 2 and 1 in order. So 4 would be Kill Bill 2 and 3 is Kill Bill 1. And I love for myself watching them back to back because I think you get a better appreciation for the whole story arc. I also love kung fu movies, so that really scratches that itch. And there hasn't been a good old school kung fu movie other than that I can really think of. Like there's no more, you know, like Jackie Chan or Jet Li or Bruce Lee movies now. There's just no one that really, like, the closest, it wasn't really a kung fu movie, but like Transporter was the last closest one I could say that until Kill Bill, like that. But that's definitely an old school kung fu movie. So that's my 4 and 3 there.
I think the fight choreography in both of those films is out of this world.
Like, honest, like one of the best scenes ever is in Kill Bill 1 with the crazy 88, the black and white fight scene.
Yes.
Like, so fucking good.
Yeah. That one scene I could just watch over and over and over again. It's amazing.
Yeah, for sure. And it's like in 2, like the five point strike
at the very end.
Part. Yeah, at the very end.
Oh, and yeah.
Like, also, like David Carradine's character is so fucking good.
I mean, he's just like totally chill, but you know he can kill you by just like sneezing on you.
Yeah, and he can masturbate in a closet and kill himself.
That happened.
He did.
That's how he passed away.
He did. He did.
Rest in peace. Yeah. Rest in peace, David Carradine.
RIP David Carradine.
All right. So,
what's your number four?
My number four is probably Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Yeah. Fuck, I love that movie so much.
That is also my number four.
My number four.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was so, I mean, it was good. It was really
my number four is Pulp Fiction.
Oh. Okay. I already know your top three.
you think you might.
Okay.
Jackie Brown is my number one. I'm just kidding.
It's so good. Just the critical. Yeah. I mean, well, I already got my number three there with Kill Bill 1.
My number three would be Reservoir Dogs.
Okay. That's awesome. Oh, my number three is Grindhouse Death Proof. Love that movie.
My number three is also Reservoir Dogs.
My man.
We are oh, yeah. All over.
We're number three, bros.
I got a four gal and a three bro.
I got a four loco of three bro.
We were a number four of whatever bro.
Whatever, what, bro. Dude. I don't know. I've been drinking. It's fine.
Totally. What's your number two?
Number two for me is Pulp Fiction. And I love it. It's almost a knock for me is just the level of popularity for it. Like, other than that, it's a stellar piece of film. But for me, the popularity is a knock. And it's also, it can be a tough one to explain to people. Because I don't know if you ever find yourself, like, telling people, like, oh, you need to watch Pulp Fiction. It's like, well, what's it about? And you're like, you just have to watch it kind of thing. Like, it's tough to explain, as opposed to the
there's
other
so much going
Tarantino
on.
Movies. You can kind of, you can give a one sentence synopsis of pretty much every other Tarantino movie except for Pulp Fiction. It's like, well, it's about a briefcase. I don't know.
You can't describe Pulp Fiction to somebody who hasn't seen it. Like, the only way you can talk about Pulp Fiction is with somebody who's already seen Pulp Fiction.
Seen it, yeah.
Otherwise, I've never seen Pulp Fiction. Well, then we can't have this conversation.
Right, yep. Right.
You need to go home.
Go get yourself a Royale with cheese and come back to me.
Yeah. Nice.
Can I have some of that taste of beverage?
Wait, you know a guy that hasn't seen Pulp Fiction? Yeah? Well, does he look like a bitch?
Ouch.
English, motherfucker. Do you speak it?
Doesn't look like... You're number two.
My number two. I'll probably say Django.
Okay. Nice. My number two is actually Pulp Fiction. Same as yours.
And mine
is Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
You do like that movie.
I fucking love that movie.
It's a great movie. Yeah, yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's like just for like I really enjoyed it, but I don't think it's kind of it's like the baseball contract syndrome. Like there's been other better movies that Tarantino's made earlier in his career, but it's like baseball players, they only get paid after they've proven that they're good, kind of thing. That makes sense. Yeah. And that's kind of the thing with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It's like it's still a great film, but it got a lot of awards, accolades, things like that. But it's like, are you saying that this is better than these other movies? I don't think so.
Well, I mean, he also pulled a lot of high-named actors to play in it. Like,
yeah, well, it's like, I mean, yeah, you got Leonardo DiCaprio and
Brad Pitt.
Like,
and then
Margot Robbie,
Al Pacino. You had all of these high-named, high-ball actors, but, I mean, I feel like it didn't fly as much as it could have, but you had your Quentin Tarantino fans who were like, this movie's awesome.
Yeah.
And for the Scream fans out there, this movie also features two Ghostface killers.
It sure does.
Timothy Oliphant, who is Ghostface.
Oliphant.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. In Scream 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the actress's name, but she was one of the Manson family girls.
Oh, the one at the very end who got eaten by the dog and then blown up by the flamethrower.
And Brad Pitt chucked a can of dog food at her snoot.
Yep.
He booped her snoot with a can of dog food. She was Ghostface. She was the Ghostface that killed Dewey in Scream 5.
That's to be decided.
We'll see. We'll test that theory when Scream 6 comes out in a couple months,
which we will cover another episode.
Oh, we're. Yeah. I need to put that on the list. Scream 6.
Yeah, you need to put it on the list.
That'll be a March episode.
Oh yeah,
but I pointed that out.
You did. You pointed that out the other night while Lucy is like infatuated with the fight scene.
Yeah, but no. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood,
number two.
If someone asks me if they want to watch it, like, yeah, dude, sign me up. Let's go.
Yeah,
I do want to watch it. I always want to watch it.
Oh, I will sit on a couch with my hands down my pants with you.
It would not be awkward.
No, I mean. It's okay to unzip, stick down, and have a beer in your hand.
And eat gushers.
And eat gushers. Squirting in my mouth gushers with my hand down my pants.
What's your number one there, sir?
Well, okay, so we're going to do honorable mentions, and I'll still do my honorable mention.
Yeah,
let's do honorable mentions first.
Is Death Proof. I really think... it'll kind of open up a lot of different avenues for people in their film viewing just by seeing that and seeing more, because you always talk about like B horror, but it's not really like that grinder slasher type horror. It's, you know, more like cheesy and stuff, but it's like I liken a lot of Death Proof to like not a critically acclaimed film, but like it fits the genre well as Hobo with the Shotgun. Mm. Like it's that same.
Yeah,
I love that movie.
Right, but it's like critically speaking, it's a terrible movie.
Oh, it's horrible.
But
critics fucking hate it.
Yeah, it's that B slasher, and like there's tons of stuff out there in that vein.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah,
for sure, for sure.
Or you have to be a real big fan of it.
Right. My number one is Django. And it's because of my love of Westerns, but also I think it's like an opera. It tells just this really good kind of coming to empowerment story. It has like a full character arc as opposed to other Tarantino movies. You don't get that as much where you see someone really coming from. Like, I mean, you see Django's character fully develop throughout the movie, and that's something you don't get in a lot of other Tarantino films. So I think it stands apart in that regard, where it's telling a fanciful but albeit realistic enough story. And really just, I mean, with Emancipation coming out with Will Smith, now there's not a lot of, you know, post-slavery kind of movies out there. And I think that's an aspect of a lot of, especially Western films, that's like, it's missed, because you're looking at the time frame, all of that is post-slavery, but it's not touched on a lot. But Django very much is. It has a lot of, I think it has probably the most cultural significance too out of any of his films. That makes sense.
I also feel like Django also had a lot more like real acting, like heartfelt acting. Like they really felt their characters.
Well, it's a love story too. It's a Western love story, you know, kind of coming of age in a weird regard. So like it's a good one. You know, it's William Shakespeare and Mark Twain with you know, Samuel Jackson being like, honestly, you want to talk about a great character too. Like,
yeah.
So, like just so much good acting and casting. And I think it has the best casting.
Oh, it was a good cast.
The film.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
What about you then, Seth?
So I will double your honorable mention on Death Proof.
Yeah.
My number one being Glorious Bastards.
It's like, I mean,
so I'm a Pulp Fiction free top five.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with not having Pulp Fiction in top five. And there's lots, like, you could argue lots of reasons to leave it out and lots of reasons to put all these other films.
Hey, it was my number four.
Yeah. My number two. It's just, it's a fun movie. It kept you on your toes the entire time.
It's exciting. Yes. And it's a nonstop thrill ride from start to finish.
Yeah.
And I just love that time period.
Yeah.
Like I love World War II. It's super interesting. So
absolutely.
So what's your number one?
Okay, so honorable mentions, I had technically three: Kill Bill 1, 2, and The Hateful Eight. I know people are gonna shit on me for it, but I really enjoyed Hateful Eight.
Was great. Like, especially if you go back and watch the extended cut, the episodic extended cut. It's crazy good.
I need to see that one. I really enjoyed
that's Hateful the one we Eight. Watched. It was on Netflix.
I enjoyed it. You fell asleep.
Yeah. Well, it's 4 hours. Yeah. It was
I don't know shit.
It's on Netflix and it's like 450 plus minute episodes.
Yeah.
It's clipped so well, and it's like, oh yeah, if you're gonna do this as a mini series, like that's fucking fabulous.
But I very much enjoyed Hateful Eight. My number one, Inglourious Bastards. As is yours.
My honorable mentions are both Kill Bill 1 and 2.
Nice.
And my number one is Inglourious Bastards.
Look at that.
Look at that.
Anyway. Fuck that.
Fuck.
I mean, I cannot speak enough about that movie. Like, it is fucking fantastic. The acting. Yeah. The storyline, like, yeah, it was a little dry here and there. I mean, Mike Myers.
I loved the back and forth with Brad Pitt and Eli Roth.
Oh my God. It's a bear Jew.
It's a bear Jew.
It's a bear Jew. It's a bear Jew. Thank you,
Bring
scout.
The bear Jew.
I remember my first viewing of that. I didn't know that Eli Roth was in it.
God, I love and Eli when, Roth so much. Oh,
when Brad Pitt introduced the bear Jew, And Eli Roth comes out with
in his
that.
Big hairy shit yeah. with his white
Teddy
beater and the baseball.
Williams goes yard.
Yeah. Like this dude is a pissed off yeah. baseball fan.
He's a masshole. He's the biggest masshole.
Yeah. Oh my god, dude. Eli Roth, like he hit the ground running. Every scene he's in is just gold.
It is.
Brett, like before this movie, yeah, I was a fan of Brad Pitt. I liked a lot of his stuff, but this movie, like, dude, Brad Pitt is a top five actor for me, like in my favorite actors.
For sure.
Brad Pitt, and he will remain there until forever for me.
Until otherwise noted.
And I just love the end. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
they make the deal. Mm. It's like, well, we can't just let you leave here. Yeah. You're going to take that uniform off and no one's going to know what you did.
Yeah. We got to give you something you can't take off. And he carves the swastika mm. into Christoph Waltz's forehead. God damn.
My favorite entirety. And
the Mike Myers cameo.
That's yeah. what I just said.
The return yeah. of Wayne.
my favorite that always sticks into my head when Inglourious Basterds comes about is when they're in the basement bar and they're playing the game and they're just like, shh, just shh, go away, yeah. get him away. Yeah. Shh. But then, like, they're like, ha, 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 this is funny. And then they're like, oh, your accent's not from
yeah,
here.
It's like,
and then
yeah,
the shootout.
Yeah,
and
Michael Fassbender's character in that is really, like, for the short times in there, is such a critical piece and is really good.
I'm not able to detect your
drivers.
Your accent. Yeah. And it was like it was also heartbreaking because the guy was like, my son was born. We're yeah. celebrating my yeah. son being born. And you're like, oh, that's so sweet. And then he dies. And it's like, and it's what like, the fuck?
Everyone dies.
And just his little like monologue, like, all right, old chap.
Yeah.
You know, and
right before he dies.
And for the Marvel nerds out there, Michael Fassbender, who played Magneto, who is a Jewish character, got to kill Nazis in this mm-hmm. movie.
Multiple Nazi killing generations.
Full circle.
Yeah. we got to watch Magneto smoke down some Nazis, which was badass. That's fucking redemption right there, and I am living for it. Sorry.
No, it's just, I mean, it's I think so it's it, it's fun. It's got comedic. It's got it's got anticipation. It's got gore. It's got horror. It's got thriller parts. It's an all yeah, around.
It's got the same thing, like, with Pulp Fiction, but not as far as the like funkiness with the time frame, but it's the converging storylines too.
Right.
I think that's something that Tarantino does really well, is
it's
bringing
almost
multiple storylines together.
Oh,
it's,
it is.
It's almost Pulp Fiction as if it was a World War II movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Almost.
It's like, because it's kind of like, who's the protagonist of Inglourious Basterds?
You've got
there
elements,
is none.
Because
so many.
It comes with multiple storylines mm-hmm. for like these characters are going to run this storyline. Mm-hmm. These are going to run this storyline. And then these
they
are going to run
meet
this
in the middle.
And then in the middle or towards the end,
right.
we're going to bring them all together for this big mm-hmm. crossover finale thing mm-hmm. and make it one big thing.
And I just love the fact that the French girl at the end was like, haha, I have my revenge. Lock the doors. We're going to burn the Nazis. It was
her story was so tragic, too. Like,
it was
the beginning. But, then her, I guess,
au revoir, Shoshana!
Her boyfriend, whatever, getting killed or whatnot.
Yeah.
It was tragic, but she had a hero's death.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
She was a superhero. Yeah.
She had a hero's death.
And then Hitler got turned into bullet pulp.
Dude, everybody in that theater got turned into bullet pulp.
Or they were smoking.
They got turned into Pulp Fiction.
Oh.
Bump, bump, bump.
Oh.
But, because...
right?
All right, well, guys, thank you guys for doing this episode with us.
Thank you.
It's been awesome having you, but before we go, could you please do our listeners the honor of letting them know where they can find your show?
Sure. Are you going to fart?
No, I just don't know any of our socials.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
is it coming again? Are you shitting your pants?
No, it's over. It's over. Just run.
All right, guys. Well, be sure to give us a like and follow as well. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Jake Dingus Show, and you can listen to our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or Podcasts, wherever you get your content. We got new episodes coming out every other Thursday, so be sure to check us out.
Fantastic. Thank you guys again for being the first guest.
Hell yeah.
First guest ever on the Tap Room Podcast. We're number one. So those of you listening, you are. Again, thank you so much for joining us at the Tap Room Podcast.
It's always cool to talk about Quentin Tarantino shit with people.
Hell yeah, fuck brother.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, thanks for having us on,
yes,
guys.
Yes, thank
appreciate
you.
It.
As always, thanks for listening to this episode. Don't forget to check out our link tree at linktr.ee/Gray's Taproom Podcast 2. You will find many ways to support us. Buy us a coffee, because we will be hungover after this episode. You can subscribe to our Patreon. 3 tiers are available for you. Get your buzzed on for $3, get tipsy for $5, or fully loaded for $10.
Don't text and drive, don't drink and drive, and always drink responsibly.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Tap room closed.
Good night.
Bye.